We finished a series last week. We spent a number of weeks talking about our values as a church, and we will actually plan to put those on one page on our website as a series or a set, if you like, where it talks about. I'm just looking at the person who runs our website because he didn't know I was. But it would be great to get those just on one page. So that if you want to know and refer back to those and you're ever not sure about what those values mean, or then those will be available on one web page. So we're in a not series time of preaching now. This is off out of any kind of series. And as I felt this week, but what shall I speak about? My mind went back to a conversation I had about here a few weeks ago. We're privileged to, you may or may not know, I'm part of something called Elim Sound, which is a worship leaders and songwriters collaborative across the Elim churches. I was involved in starting that a number of years ago, and it's something which is still privileged and great to be a part of. You can find, YouTube and Spotify and whatever else to if you search for Elim Sound, you'll find some of the stuff that we've done. But we were privileged a few weeks ago to host a songwriting retreat here in Aberystwyth. So there were songs being written in lots of different rooms in this building. And I was with two of my best friends, Sam and Ian, and we were sat here. And the question was this. It was Ian that was asking the question, what is the song that really needs to be sung right now? And then there was like a part two to the question, and we developed the question further. And this is sounds a bit morbid in a way, but it was framed like, if you're dying, if you could leave, and we're all parents, the three of us, if you could only leave one song for your children or your loved ones, what would it be? What would that song be? And as I sort of thought about it and reflected it and verbally processed what I wanted to say, it really boiled down to me wanting my loved ones, my family, to know this: Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. This is the most important thing that anybody needs to understand, anybody needs to know. So if I could sing one song, if I could create one message in song that might last beyond my years, I would want it to be Jesus is Lord. And so we went down that line and we tried to create something. And you know, just as a, you know, as sort of an aside, we realized, and because it's relevant to the first question, what song needs to be sung right now? Quite often if I'm wanting to sing a song that just simply expresses the Lordship of Christ, I've got to go back about 20 or 30 years and dig them out from the past. I do think it's a song that has not been... Of course it comes through a lot of the songs that have been written over the last 20 years. This is not anything in any way a criticism of other songs. But I think you go through seasons where a message comes through strongly. And I believe that the church is journeying through and more deeply into a season where the lordship of Jesus is being emphasized again. The sovereignty, the kingship, the majesty, the might of Jesus is going to be more clear. And so I feel like this is a song that needs to be sung right now. It's a message that needs to be emphasized and recovered and strengthened. Jesus is Lord. The passage of scripture that we used to inspire the song that we wrote, and I think this is one of the most, for me, informative and helpful passages of scripture in terms of summing up who Christ is. Philippians chapter 2 and starting in verse 5. If you can see the words clearly enough, please feel free to read along with me. There's no pressure to do so if you don't want to. But let's read. It's just three slides. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. If we just could meditate upon and grasp the richness of what that passage tells us and reveals to us, then there would be nothing more to say. But we need help, and I need help. And I think one of the things that we have emphasized really well in the church in modern times is Jesus as our Savior. Jesus as the one who has saved us, who's brought us from death into life, who offers us love and mercy and grace and salvation. And I think the message of salvation has been well communicated in our churches and in many ways. Of course, we could always do better, but that sense of Jesus as Savior. But we need to understand that he is Lord and Savior. And if we only understand Jesus as our Savior, then we are missing the point. We need to understand Jesus as our Lord and as our Savior. The truth that Jesus is our Savior is impossible to overemphasize. So I'm not saying that we have overemphasized the salvation that Jesus offers us. I feel like perhaps we have just underemphasized what it means to live under the Lordship and give our lives to the Lordship of Christ. And the Lordship of Jesus definitely shouldn't be underemphasized. And we live with intentions in the Christian faith. I'm often fascinated by the tensions of the now and the not yet. And you know, it is true to say that the kingdom of God has come fully. It is also true to say the kingdom of God is coming. Both those things are true simultaneously. They're held together somehow in the reality of God's heart and God's plans and purposes. Two things which sound like in our human minds, you know, don't quite tie together. They can be true. They can be held together in him. And here's something which I think we grapple with in our minds, don't we? Jesus is sovereign. He is Lord. He is King of Kings. He has all authority. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to him. And yet we see great pain and suffering and tragedy and difficulty, and we bring things before him in our lives and we say, "Why, God, why haven't we had a breakthrough here? You're my Lord." And we live in the tension. And all I can say is that God is at work in that tension. God is at work in that place, in that journey that we're on between the now and the not yet. In that journey, us understanding and proclaiming the sovereignty of Jesus, even when it looks like something that we're facing would not be what would sit comfortably under the Lordship of Jesus. The tension of our trusting and our loving and our pursuing him in that, God is at work in that. Amen? That makes some sense to somebody. Jesus is the Lord of all. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. And yet we are given and we're privileged and we're left with the opportunity and the choice of whether we are going to come under and submit to and live under that lordship or not. When we think about lordship, we might think of a lord and a lady, the lord of the manor, the lady of the manor, and the servants, and the, you know, historically those that would have worked under them, and they would, yes, my lord. And when we think of lordship from a human point of view, we we would kind of have a negative connotation to it. Because what we think of is people lording it over others. We think of people who consider themselves better than others, and so therefore they have the right to boss others about or to make sure that everything that the other people doing is to serve their purposes. But the kingship that Jesus has expressed to us is actually the opposite. You might call it lording it under, because the kingship of Christ was revealed not in lording it over others, but in humbling himself and being obedient, even unto death upon a cross, so that the plan and purpose of God could be fulfilled and that you and I could be set free and know him and live under his lordship. And this is the way of the kingdom. Jesus doesn't lord it over. He has become humble. And we know through scripture that God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So we should never desire to lord it over one another. We're supposed to, in honor, prefer one another. Our desire should not be to make everybody else serve our purpose. And I'm sorry to say that so often in the life and ministries and lots of the things that we're seeing unfolding now, as some things are being brought into the light about what's gone on in churches and church movements and ministries, there's been a lot of people thinking that the others exist to serve their purpose and their plans and their mission, and there's that sense of doing you're here to serve me. And although I understand that within ministries and churches there is a vision that we can get behind, it should never be about lording it over other people. We're here to serve as Jesus has come to serve us. Amen. This is the way of the kingdom. And as we invite his lordship over our lives, as you invite Jesus to be the Lord of your life, your Savior, yes, but also your Lord, it's his way of life that we're choosing. It's a way of service. It's a way of humility. And we are given that choice and that opportunity. This fantastic passage, Romans 10 and verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will have salvation. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. That's the invitation that you're given. It's as simple as that. Accepting the lordship of Jesus and receiving his salvation. Is Jesus your Lord and your Savior this morning? Because he's the Lord of all. And the fact that he is the Lord of all, even though it doesn't always stack up in our minds and we can't always make sense of everything that's going on around us, and we say, Lord, if you are sovereign, then why is that happening? One day we'll have the opportunity to ask him those questions face to face. But his sovereignty is our comfort and our hope in the face of the trials and the tribulations of the world in which we live. We don't just glibly live in denial and say, well, I see that great suffering take place, but Jesus is Lord. No. We get involved, we do what we can, we serve, we pray, we give, we get involved in the situations and help where we can, where we see suffering and difficulty and pain and those in need. Because that's the kind of kingship that Christ has revealed to us, that of a humble servant. So it's not like a get-out clause or a trite saying that we can say in the face of difficult things that we witness, it's okay because Jesus is Lord. It's not that. But it is a hope. The fact that Jesus is sovereign and he is reigning and he's been given authority, when we understand the bigger picture and the eternal perspective in which we're living, it gives us hope and strength and light beyond even the ultimate enemy of humanity, which is death. Adore talked about Lazarus, Jesus revealing himself to have authority even over death before his own resurrection, where he defeated and destroyed the power that death had. And Jesus has become king over the grave. That's why it says in Romans, if you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, belief in the resurrection is absolutely key to salvation. It's part of what it means. And so if there is one thing in history, if you're interested in history and research, that you really want to verify and look into and research, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The man that was called Jesus, son of Joseph and Mary, from Nazareth, who's documented in scripture, but also documented in other writings from the time. There's one thing to verify as a fact of history, it's the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The fact that people saw him, having seen him crucified, they saw him in his resurrection body, and he spoke to them and he spent time with them. And those people died for that testimony. Most of those that saw Jesus, most of the apostles that walked with him in his resurrection, the reason they were killed was because they wouldn't change their testimony that they had seen the risen Jesus Christ. That was what got them killed. Why would you die for something that hadn't been true? Verify this for yourself. Jesus Christ was risen from the dead. Amen? And the lordship and the salvation of Christ, they go hand in hand. They can't be separated. He is Lord and he is Savior. Nothing can change the truth of who he is, but we must answer this question for ourselves. And so my question this morning, who do you say he is? His disciples were given the opportunity to answer that question for themselves. Matthew 16 and 13, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." Jesus looked at them and he said, "But what about you? Who do you say I am?" Just imagine Jesus this morning looking at you. Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. And this passage of scripture, there are many facets to it, and we're not going into all of them, and we're not doing a deep dive into this particular passage of scripture. We talked about it in other contexts and about in other subjects. But the point is the revelation of who Jesus Christ is. And we all need that revelation. We all need God to reveal that to us. Doesn't matter how much arguing we do with somebody, it is only the Holy Spirit who can reveal the truth of who Christ is. Doesn't matter how much debate we have with somebody, we can love and pour our hearts and our lives and the truth of the gospel in the scriptures and in the spoken word. We can pour it into the life of somebody, but it's the Holy Spirit who has to reveal to us who Christ Jesus is and make that real for us. And that may not have happened for you yet, so we pray that God will open your heart and your mind and that the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the truth of who Jesus Christ is. Because who is or was Jesus of Nazareth is the most important question you will ever have to answer in your life. And you will have to answer it, whether it is in life or in death. You will have to answer this question. The revelation that Simon Peter had is the one that we can have, and it's the one that we all need to recognize. Yeshua, which is what his name would more likely have been pronounced at the time, Yeshua. He is the Lord who saves. That's what his name means. He is our salvation. But he's also the Messiah. He's the Son of Man, the Son of God. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. But what about what he said about himself? Like, you know, this is all very well. Simon Peter's had this realization, this revelation. The apostles identified him this way. They died for saying that they'd seen the resurrected Jesus, and so on and so forth. But Jesus never said, I am Lord. Okay. But he made it abundantly clear. Here's one example, John 10. I and the Father are one. Because he said this, and you could say, well, yeah, but that's not necessarily him saying that. Because he said this, the zealous religious believers, the Jewish, those who understood the scriptures, those who understood who God was and is, they picked up stones to kill him. Why would they do that if it wasn't because he was claiming to be God? It goes on to say, Jesus said to them, I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me? We're not stoning you for any good work, they replied, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God. Jesus was making it clear as he walked and ministered, and as he demonstrated the kingdom, he was making it clear that he was God in human flesh. There's no doubt, really, that he was making his identity as God clear. But this mere man, this one who had humbled himself and become a baby, and been born and laid in an animal's feeding trough, and then lived a perfect and holy life, and then was crucified painfully upon a cross, taking on himself the punishment for your sin and my sin, and releasing us from shame and pain, was also Almighty God. Will we choose to put him to death like those who picked up the stones because he identified himself as God, or will we accept who he said he was, die to ourselves, and be raised to life in him? I just want to just say a couple more things. And the first one is this: don't be an oxymoron. One of the most nonsensical things you could possibly say if you're given an instruction by God is, no, Lord. Because if you're saying no, then you're not saying Lord. And I know sometimes it's difficult to work out what the instructions that God is giving us. Some things are difficult and some things aren't difficult, right? I think I'm probably maybe talking about those things where we know that what we're doing is not something God would want us to do, or we know that we are not doing what God wants us to do, and yet we choose, we say no. If you're saying no, then you're not saying Lord. It's an oxymoron, a self-contradictory figure of speech. You can't put those two words together, no, Lord, in a context where you're being given an instruction. If you're saying no to someone, then they're not being given lordship. But yes, Lord, is often much easier said than done, isn't it? And it's even more easily sung in a song from about 20 years ago. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. You got the words for that chorus sorted out, yeah? Remember they used to make songs where you could remember the words? Yes, Lord. Let's just look at that word, Lord. It comes from this word, kurios. It means Lord, Master, Sir, or the Lord. And it comes from a word, kuros, which means supremacy. Supreme in authority, controller, by implication, master, God, Lord, master, sir. And I ask you this morning, who or what is your Lord? Because we're all mastered by something. Who or what is the master of your life? What dictates your choices? It can be very easy for us to be dictated by money. It can be easy for us to be dictated by romantic love. It can be easy for us to be dictated by families or other things. Who or what is your Lord? Because there's only one Lord. Jesus Christ. So what does it look like for you to say yes to the Lordship of Jesus today? Maybe you've never done it, and there could be an opportunity in a moment for you to do this for the first time. Say, yeah, Lord, I believe that's who you are. And I want that salvation. And so I invite your Lordship over me. But for the rest of us, maybe we've known and we've walked in the Lordship of Jesus, but that we know that there are areas of life that we are not giving him Lordship. And he doesn't want part of the house. He wants the whole house. We can't have a room which is just locked up upstairs. Well, oh God, you're not allowed in that room of my life. He knows it anyway. He knows what's there. He knows what's locked away in that place. Bring it into the light. Bring it into the light. Bring it before him. Find somebody that you know and trust and you know that loves you and is for you. And if you're able to, bring it before them as well and let them know about it so they can strengthen and stand alongside and help you and you can be accountable together. If there's any area of your life where he's not being given lordship, bring it before him. Let's sort it out today, shall we? Are there any other things or people that we have given authority to in our lives? Maybe we're holding on to something that somebody's said and we need to let it go because we're giving that authority over what God says about us. God says you're fearfully and wonderfully made. He says he has a plan and a purpose for your life. He says that you can be with him in eternity. He says that you can be free from shame. And yet somebody else has said the opposite, and so we're allowing that to have lordship. He wants to open that door and let his light flood in. He wants to be Lord of even those things that we don't want him to be Lord of, especially those things. And this is easier said than done. It's easier said than done. And the reality is that we might this morning say, yes, God, I give you open access to every area and forever I want to serve you and live under your lordship. And then tomorrow morning, find ourselves with another challenge or the same challenge that we've... But what's the response then? Open the door. Lord, I give you lordship again afresh today of this area. Help me overcome this. Help me not in a year's time be having to do this every day, Lord. I want to give you lordship of this area that I'm struggling with, this person I'm struggling to forgive, or this problem that I'm holding on to, this weight that I'm carrying, this burden I can't cope with. Lord, I want you to be Lord of this. So I come before you again. I come to that altar again and I lay it down. And if you need to do that every day, do it every day. If you need to do it once today and it brings a breakthrough, then hallelujah. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue can acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is our Savior and our Lord. To accept the salvation of Jesus is a wonderful free gift of his grace. To live under the Lordship of Jesus is our choice, our challenge, and our great privilege. So who is Jesus to you today? Finish with a verse that I would only usually bring out in December. Because it gives us a revelation of Jesus is. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." Jesus is Savior and Lord. Let's bring our lives before the altar this morning and invite his Lordship.